Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm still William Cooper. But just, barely. Wow. It just amazes me how easily people fall into... before I get into that, I want to thank a few people. I want to thank all the peace officers in this county. And I'm saying county because there are a whole bunch of them, and they're on different departments and different things. But I don't want to embarrass anybody by identifying a specific organization. So I want to thank Dave. I want to thank Dave for the he knows what, because he's probably the only one that's doing it. I can't tell you what he gave me, but it's good to eat. Delicious, as a matter of fact. We're into the hunting season here. I want to thank all of you who have contributed to my larder with some of the good wild things around here that you have personally brought down and made sure that I get a part of or a piece of or a taste of or something. Thank you. And all of these people were peace officers, as opposed to law enforcement officials. They're people who are patriots, solidly on our side, and help me out in their own special way, without compromising their situation. And certainly will be there when the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan. That's how old Judas Glenn Jacobs got caught. He really thought that that there was, nobody in support of my position. Poor fellow. Let me tell you this, all of you, all across the nation and around the world, and I mean this, listen to me very carefully. Patriots are everywhere. By patriots, I mean men and women who love freedom, who are ready and willing to die for freedom, should they ever be called upon to have to do that. That's why old Judas Glenn Jacobs got caught. And it wasn't just one or two that that disclosed his duplicity, his lies, his informant status. It was quite a few, as a matter of fact. Nobody's seen too much of Glenn since last Thursday's broadcast. It's like he's retreated into his hole. And there can only be one reason for that. He knows what he's done. He knows what he's done. He's ashamed of it. He can't come out and look his neighbors in the eye. Because it wasn't just me he was informing on, ladies and gentlemen. It was everybody in this community for years. This is what I discovered from the peace officers in this community. Glenn Jacobs has been an informant on his fellow citizens in the Round Valley for years and years and years. I mean, it's like a professional thing. And I guess they put up with it because they thought that he was contributing to lessening crime in the valley until he began to spy on me for the federal government and the local law enforcement, who are still not peace officers but support the tyranny and are really New World Order scum-sucking, jack-booted Nazi thugs. Chief Garms included. Chief Nazi. Chief Nazi of the Round Valley is Chief Garms. And so some of them decided, we're going to align ourselves with the right side. And so they did. And so Glenn Jacobs was outed. Outed. Stripped naked. And so now he hides in his house. Glenn, you have nothing to fear from me. or anybody that I know, none of us will hurt you. We're not vindictive, vengeful people. We know who you're going to have to answer to. It's going to be God, not us. And I sincerely hope and pray. See, I can't speak for everybody, just for me and the patriots in the Round Valley. No patriot is going to hurt you. That's not our bag. Our bag is to support the law, the real law, not the law that you think is in effect, but the real law. We are in support of the real, truthful government and the real, truthful law, the Constitution for the United States of America, and all lawful legislation under that document that has been passed on the federal and state level since then. We are solidly behind the law. We are not anti-government. We are pro-legitimate constitutional Republican government as guaranteed to us in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution for the United States of America. But, Glenn, I can't speak for all the fellow citizens in the Round Valley that you ratted on that may just be getting a clue as to who it was that ratted on them. I hope, and I'm asking them right now, don't touch this guy. Don't hurt him. Let him answer to God. See, I know that Glenn at least pretends to be a religious man. He pretends very well. I don't know whether he is or not, but if he really is, then God's judgment will be the worst thing that it could ever happen to. We could never do anything to him that even would come close to even making the slightest dent compared to God's judgment on this man for what he's done. I wonder if he accepted 30 pieces of silver or 30 Federal Reserve notes. If he accepted the Federal Reserve notes, that makes Judas smarter than Glenn Jacobs. And I'll bet old Glenn took Federal Reserve notes. Who knows? And don't, you know, for all of you dummies out there that think that the sins of the father passed down to the sons or the daughters or the wife or the grandchildren or whatever, screw your head on straight. You leave those people alone. Glenn Jacobs transgressed. Glenn Jacobs is the informant. Glenn Jacobs is the liar. Glenn Jacobs is the Judas. Not his children, not his wife, not his grandchildren if he has any, not his mother, not his father, not his aunts and uncles. Remember, the Constitution prevents and forbids corruption of blood. Now, most of you who have ever read the Constitution never even knew what it meant, never knew what it meant, never even asked a question about it. Corruption of blood means that no person in any family can be held responsible for what some other person in that family has ever done. See, in the old world from which our founding fathers escaped, there was corruption of blood. The sins of the father was truly visited upon the sons by the state, by the despots, by the pope, by the kings and queens, by anybody. They punished the entire family. They've even done that in modern-day Russia. If somebody turned against the Communist Party and turned against the Soviet Union and split to the West, what did they do? They punished the entire family for the sins, what they considered to be the sins of whoever defected against communism, in order to be a lesson to everybody else. Our Constitution forbids it. And since the transgression was committed against me, I have a right to forbid it. I forbid it. Do not harm those people. They are innocent. Do not harm Glenn Jacobs, even though he is guilty. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and God will take whatever judgment and vengeance is due. Glenn Jacobs will and should come from God. And that's the way I want it. And since it was committed against me and my family, since our lives were the lives endangered by Glenn Jacobs, since he was informing upon us, I have a right to tell you this. Leave him alone. Especially if you believe in God, as I do. Paying attention. I hope you understood what those lyrics said. The earth dies screaming while I lay dreaming. That's what you're all doing. The earth is screaming while you're all dreaming. The whole world is in a crap state of affairs because you're all dreaming. You're all lost in this fantasy land like you think everything's fine. You just don't have the slightest idea, do you? And I mean, you really don't. Let me tell you something. We have our different trusts and things have bank accounts all over the world. We wanted to open one little bank account here for Harvest Trust with Frontier State Bank. Just so that we could, if we needed to cash a check really quick, we could cash the check, and then if it was in the bank before 3 p.m., we could write a check on it the same day and get it out, and there wouldn't be much danger of losing a whole bunch of money, but it would make checks available to us real quick. And we ran into another one of those petty little bureaucrat assholes, and that's exactly what it is, what he is. He's an asshole. His name is Bill Ferris. He's one of the managers for Frontier State Bank. And on their signature card, see, we filled everything out right. We did everything just absolutely properly, took it down there, everything. And he called me up and he said, "Mr. Cooper, we can't allow you to open an account with this bank." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because you crossed out taxpayer ID and wrote in employer ID." I said, "Well, that's what it is. We don't have a taxpayer ID number. We have an employer ID number so that if any taxpayers ever really do legitimately work for us, and they never will, because we always contract people to do things for us, then we can take care of that properly because there are people who are legitimately required to file and pay income tax." He said, well, Mr. Cooper, it doesn't matter. You know, our form says taxpayer ID number, and an EIN is a taxpayer ID number, and we put that down there, and we specified EIN, but you crossed out taxpayer ID number wherever it appeared and wrote employer ID number. I asked him, I said, what's wrong with that, Mr. Ferris? I mean, that's exactly what it is. In the law and in the Internal Revenue Code and in the Internal Revenue Service regulations and in Title 26 of the USC, it specifically gives two different definitions for taxpayer identification number and employer identification number. He says, well, you can list your EIN as a taxpayer identification number. I said, no, sir, I cannot. And the reason I cannot is because I must sign my signature under penalty of perjury, and under the law, the definitions of the two are not the same. And therefore, if I list an employer identification number as a taxpayer identification number, I am committing fraud and I am signing to a lie under the penalty of perjury, and I cannot do that. Why would you even ask me to do that? Well, I'm not going to argue with you about it. That was his answer. What a stupid answer. He could not contradict what I said. He could not prove what I said was wrong. He knew nothing about the law. All he knew was on his little bank signature card, it says taxpayer ID number. And you know what he's allowed to put there by his bank? He can put an employer identification number, which is not a tax ID number. He can put a tax ID number assigned by the IRS to a taxpayer, which is a tax ID number, or he can put a Social Security number, which is not a tax ID number, and according to the law, is to be used for nothing other than Social Security purposes. So who is this petty little cheesy bureaucrat, this little third-rate manager in this bank down here, Frontier State Bank, who is telling us that we cannot open a bank account unless we agree to commit fraud and perjure ourselves? And the reason I'm bringing this up, folks, is because people do this to all of us every single day, and you cannot fall into the trap. So we don't need that bank account. It would have just been convenient. But we don't need it. But see, most of you do need a bank account. And when you go down there and you fill it out and it says taxpayer ID and you put your Social Security number in there and then you sign your name that all of the above is true and correct under the penalty of perjury, you have lied. You've committed fraud and you can be prosecuted for that. If you put down an EIN number, you have lied, you have committed fraud, and you can be prosecuted for that. Now, the Internal Revenue Service and the United States government is not interested in ever prosecuting most of you. But if you ever did anything that really pissed them off and they wanted to go after you, that's exactly what they would get you on. And you don't want to be in that position ever. You do not want to be in that position. I have watched them do this to countless tens of thousands of people all across the United States of America. They wanted to get them on something because they were politically incorrect. They couldn't get them on anything else, so they'd get them on things like this. You see, where it says taxpayer identification number, that's the only thing that you can put there and still be telling the truth and not committing fraud. If you put down a Social Security number and you don't rule, if you don't, see, here's the way to properly do it. If you put down a Social Security number, you line up taxpayer ID, and you put Social Security number. And wherever it says taxpayer ID, you line that out and write over it Social Security number. If it says TIN, you line that out and put SSN. That's the lawful way to do it. Then you can lawfully sign your signature under penalty of perjury, and then you're telling the truth. You know, I explain this all to this little petty bureaucrat, this Bill Ferris guy. And you know what? He didn't care. He didn't care whether it was the truth or not, or whether we were signing to a lie under the penalty of perjury or not. The only thing he cared about was his itsy-bitsy little job, which said that, oh, if I've been told by my executives over me that you must not ever change this form. That's why they're over him. That's why he's a petty little bank manager in the White Mountains. And that's why that's all he could ever hope to be. Because by the time I get through writing letters and presenting the legal side of this, he's going to be in real hot water. He's going to be in big trouble. And I'm going to do that. You can bet your butt on it. I'm going to put his whole behind in a kettle of hot water, and it's going to boil for months and months and months. And if he ever had a hope of promotion, by the time I get through with him and his bank, he's never going to get a promotion. And even if they change their mind and he says, oh, well, you're right, we wouldn't open an account in his bank in a million years because of that. And that should be a lesson to the bank. So all of you in the Round Valley who have bank accounts with Frontier State Bank, you better go check your signature card. And if you lied on there and signed it under penalty of perjury, you better close that account. You better close that account. Or any bank, for that matter. You see, we're living in the age of tyranny. And they intentionally trap you in all kinds of things that you have no idea you're being entrapped in because you're not smart enough to spot it. But if you ever make them angry and they want to get you and they can't get you on anything else because you really are a law-abiding citizen, they'll get you on that crap. They will lock you up forever. This is not a misdemeanor. If it says taxpayer ID number and you put down your Social Security number, or you put down an employer identification number, or you put down your birthday or anything other than an assigned taxpayer identification number given to you specifically by the Internal Revenue Service, you have lied under oath. You have committed fraud. You are liable to be prosecuted for perjury because you're signing under penalty of perjury. And if you read it, which none of you ever do, you will see that perjury is not a misdemeanor. Listen to me carefully. Perjury is not and never has been a misdemeanor. Perjury is a major felony. You don't go to jail for 6 months for committing perjury. You don't go to jail for 1 year for committing perjury. You go to jail for years for committing perjury. Perjury is one of the most serious crimes that anyone can commit. And this guy was telling us, here's what he was telling us. Either you commit perjury or you can't get a bank account in this bank. You know what I told him? Up yours, asshole. You petty little creep. You're an asshole. That's exactly what he is. For those of you who don't like it, you know, turn off your radio and go somewhere else. I calls them like they are. I call a spade a spade. And a heart, a heart. Petty bureaucrats that make up their own rules and try to suck you in to breaking the law because they don't understand the law are assholes. Simple as that. And I don't care if anybody likes it or not. That's exactly what they are. It's what they always will be. And that's exactly what they need to be called. I'm so sick and tired of the hypocrisy in this country. It just bowls me over. I know so many people in front of a crowd, they'll say, oh, he's not a very nice person. Step off the podium, turn around, and talk to me privately, and say, that son of a bitch is an asshole. So will most of you in your private world. Not all of you, to be sure. There are some saints out there, but not too many. But you know what? I really don't give a damn anymore. You're all flushing this nation down the toilet. You're flushing yourselves down the toilet. You walk around in some kind of a stupor fog like you don't know what the hell's going on or what world you're living in. Then you walk into a bank and the guy said, well, put down your taxpayer ID number. You say, well, I don't have one. Well, what's your Social Security number? And you tell him. You say, well, put that down. And you do, like a stupid fool. That's not a taxpayer ID number. It's a Social Security number. And when you put it down and sign your name under penalty of perjury, that everything that you have filled out on that form above is true and correct under the penalty of perjury, you have set yourself up for a long prison term. Dummy. 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 When are you going to wake up? When are you going to wake up? Oh, and by the way, I forgot to tell you. You know, I asked the guy to check with his legal department before he made a decision. You know what he told me? I'm not going to argue with you about it. He doesn't know anything about the law. He wouldn't even check with his own legal department before telling me that we couldn't have a bank account unless we lied under oath, under penalty of perjury, by signing our name that the employee identification number was a taxpayer ID number. And this is how you get trapped also. See, an employee identification number is not a taxpayer number. Does not obligate you or commit you to file and pay the income tax. All it says is that if you employ someone who is liable to file and pay the income tax, that you're agreeing to obey the rules and laws that employers are required to obey concerning employees that are required to file and pay the income tax. Which, unless you've been designated an agent of the, a fiscal agent of the United States government, is nothing. So it's okay to get an EIN. It really is. Doesn't hurt you at all. Doesn't commit you to anything. But when you list the EIN number and you say under the penalty of perjury that that's a taxpayer ID number, you have just declared yourself to be a taxpayer or your organization or your trust or your corporation or whatever it is that you're opening a bank account for. You have just said under penalty of perjury that that's a taxpayer ID number. How can it be a taxpayer ID number unless you're a taxpayer and required to file and pay? Where in hell are your brains? Gee, is that too much to ask that somebody in America has some brains? And you bet your butt I'm going to send this tape to Mr. Bill Ferris down at Frontier State Bank. Let him listen to it. I'm going to give him a few days to think about it. And no matter what his decision is, we will not ever open an account in that bank because of what he did. But if he's truly sorry, we won't bother him beyond that point. But if he's not, if he's not, his bank is going to go so many letters and so many legal briefs that this guy is never going to get a promotion anywhere, ever again. He's going to be finished with that bank. Even if they don't fire him, he's finished. No more raises, no more promotions, no more nothing. Because he's going to cause them more trouble than what he's worth. I can guarantee you that. And I'll personally print 10,000 flyers and make sure that every single person that lives within 25 miles of this bank gets a copy of it. You should all be doing the same things, but do them lawfully, do them rightfully. Don't do it in spite or in revenge to hurt somebody because you don't like them. Do it because somebody really is doing something that's despicable to his fellow citizens under the law. And then do it really good so that it's a lesson to everybody else. Don't screw your fellow citizens simply because you're a coward and you're afraid to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right, and you might lose your job. Lots of other jobs. Lots of other jobs. Remember, that's what all the Nazis said. Oh, we was just following orders of Der Fuhrer. And we did. We didn't want to lose our job. We didn't want to end up in those camps. Hey, I'd have gone gladly rather than do what they did. I'd have marched in there with a smile on my face, even if they killed me. So, you know, everybody's got to get something on the ball. Boy, I was getting emails all day long from this creep. I mean, this guy is a creep. His name is John Prukop. He's done this to me before. All of a sudden, I get this barrage of emails that's all made up of rumor and conjecture, bullshit, and lies. I always send him back a polite post saying, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing. You don't have any proof about anything. You haven't done any research. There's absolutely no substance to what you're saying. Please remove this address from your email list. And they keep coming and keep coming. And finally, I got to get angry and then send a whole bunch of posts to his server to abuse and postmaster and all that kind of stuff until he gets kicked off of his server, and then I don't hear from him for a while. He gets another server, another email address. I still don't hear from him for a while, and then all of a sudden, something will happen somewhere, and then my mailbox is filled with his crap. And today it was all about the crash of the Egyptian Airlines plane. And this guy's just raving mad. There's only two possibilities, either a bomb or it was a missile. And it must have been Osama bin Laden. Hey, this is an Egyptian Airlines plane full of Islamic people from Egypt. Oh, yeah. Osama bin Laden's going to shoot down a plane full of Islamic followers, Muslims. I don't think so. I don't think so, not in a million years. Not only that, but nobody knows anything about the crash. Nothing whatsoever. There are no witnesses so far. No one's found any witnesses. No one knows what happened. No one knows how it happened. Anything. And there's not just two possibilities. There's hundreds of them. I used to be an aircraft and missile technician in the Air Force. Remember that? I worked on B-52 bombers, KC-135 aircraft, and Minuteman missiles. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's lots of things that can make an airplane fall out of the sky with no warnings whatsoever, with no time for the pilot to radio anybody. Than you could even imagine. All kinds of things can happen. There can be major structural failure. And if it didn't happen on any other models of that aircraft, could be that that was the first one that happened too. All kinds of things that could happen. Could be a mid-air collision with some plane that didn't file a flight plan and nobody knows is even missing yet. There could have been a hijacker on board that somehow got into the cockpit and killed everybody. there could have been some kind of a fire in the cockpit, and this happens on airplanes where something is burning that produces toxic gases that causes everybody to lose consciousness real quick. There's all kinds of things that could have happened. So I very politely told him that. Well, a lot of good that did with the rumor-mongering creepo John Prukop. And I still don't know why he insists on putting me on his mailing list when I've asked him at least 100 times this year to keep me off of it. I'm not interested in what this guy has to say because he hasn't got a brain. And then guess what I get in the mail? The Free American, Douglas, Clayton Douglas. Clayton Douglas is my friend. I like Clayton Douglas. I like his radio show. I like his magazine, but darn it. There's one thing that's really upset me with him. Remember when we did the original expose on the so-called contrails? We did a big expose here on the Hour of the Time. Well, I had no idea that he had just published a copy of his magazine, Free American, where the headline story was Contrails Are Killing America. And so as soon as he heard my show, I mean, he called me up the next morning. He wasn't interested in the truth. He wasn't interested in facts. He was interested in trying to convince me to change my story and go on the air and tell everybody that contrails really were killing America so he could save his magazine from being a laughingstock. And I told him no, but he wouldn't give up. And he wouldn't listen to scientific proof or anything else, and his magazine had no proof, nothing. It's all rumor, just like this copy. So finally, I had to hang up on him, and he wouldn't quit. And I kept telling him, furnish me one shred of proof. Show me one shred of proof, one certified analysis of anything that you can prove came from an airplane that was spraying it over any area that ever made anybody sick. He couldn't do it. I said, then why are you trying to get me to retract all the scientific proof that we have proven on the air? Unless it's just so you won't be embarrassed with your magazine story. He wouldn't quit. So I hung up on him. I still like Clayton Douglas. I still like what he does on his radio show. And I like his magazine. He has a good story in this magazine, this issue. Was the bomb used on the Branch Davidians? Absolutely, yes. My research tells me absolutely, 100%, yes. But the headline story is this. Here's the headline story, folks. Quote, since when do C-130s leave contrails? End quote. Let me tell you, Clayton. Since the first time they ever flew in the air under the right temperature and humidity conditions, they left contrails. I have photographs of B-29 bombers, B-17 bombers, B-29 bombers, B-25 bombers, B-24 bombers during World War II. All piston engine aircraft flying across the skies of Europe, leaving miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of contrails behind them from piston-driven engines. Yeah, C-130s leave contrails, Clayton Douglas. When are you going to wake up and stop publishing the bullshit, dribble, crap, lie, rumor, idiot, airhead stuff that this guy, William Thomas, sends you, who has been proven to be a liar so many times? It's absolutely pathetic. He's been challenged to present real proof, and he's never done it once. He's been challenged to prove any airplane ever sprayed anything by a certified analysis by anyone who's genuine that can be traced back and will swear in a court of law that that's a real analysis and it was really produced, absolutely certified from an airplane spraying over any place that ever caused anybody to get sick. And he can't do it even though he keeps promising that he's going to and that he has all this stuff. He's a liar. He's a liar. Now, if you were set about in a conspiracy to destroy a nation, and all of these people out there that are curious and always looking into things and caring about things and are politically active were a threat to you, what would you do to neutralize them? You can't pay them off because they're not that kind of people. You can't convert them over to your side that easily. Maybe some of them, but most of them, no. They're not that kind of people. No, because they're naturally curious, and they're the ones who are always looking into things and trying to discover what's going on. You divert their attention by giving them all this other rumor, bullshit, crap, lie, idiotic stuff, and making them chase their own tails in a cul-de-sac of their own doing forever and ever and ever, and they're no threat to you at all. Couldn't possibly be. And you know what? You get back to this article. Since when does C-130s leave country? You get back to this article written by this liar, William Thomas, and guess what it is? He doesn't scientifically refute the fact that C-130s can leave contrails. In fact, he doesn't even hardly mention it. Instead, it's a couple of pages of copied emails from the internet from a bunch of really no-brain idiots whom he believed is supporting his position simply by publishing their emails. Not one single word of scientific fact in any of it, period. No scientific, legitimate research material that could ever be presented in a court of law that would stand up even for a second anywhere in any country, even the worst criminal or justice system that exists on the face of this earth. Couldn't happen. And how much you want to bet that everybody who reads it will all of a sudden believe that contrails really are killing people in America because they can't think straight? They don't know what evidence is. Never did a lick of research in their life. And they believe that because it's printed in the free America, it's innuendo, it's rumor, it's all just a bunch of lies and gossip. Gossip, really, is what most of it is. That it's true. And we're all going to die tomorrow. Oh, really? Oh, gee. Well, according to this article and everything that William Thomas writes, these people are trying to kill us off by spraying us. Gee, I wonder why they're spraying themselves too. Oh, I never thought of that. Well, you better start thinking of it. Why is it that the Air Force base that's sending these planes up to spray everybody to kill them is making the contrails over their own base to kill themselves too? Duh.
Gag me with the spoon, man.
A nation, a world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals without intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. Record that. Play it back to yourself over and 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 over again until it sinks in, dummies. Beats of burden, stakes on the table, beats of burden, stakes on the table, stupid airhead jerks. When are you going to wake up? You know, so you're so stupid that anybody can come along and say damn near anything they want to, and you just believe it and pass it around and fax it all across the world and put it on the internet and all the use groups and news groups and all that kind of stuff. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Never did. It's amazing. I am amazed. I'm blown away by the absolute total ignorance, apathy, and stupidity of the great numbers of American people out there who prove every single day that they really are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. They couldn't possibly be anything else. They were born to be sheared and led to the slaughter. No matter how hard you try to help them,
or change that so that they can become real people and stand up on their own two feet instead of all four and brush the wool out from over their eyes and stop being hoodwinked. I suggest you all read Animal House by H.G. Wells. Animal House. That wasn't H.G. Wells. Read Animal House. Let's see if there's anybody who knows the real author. I know it. Written it down right here. Let's see if there's anybody who knows the real author of Animal House. 520-333-4578. Who knows the real author of Animal House? Give you a hint. It was not an American. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. It's Animal Farm, George Orwell.
Animal Farm, George Orwell. That's right.
That's right.
I said Animal House, didn't I?
Yeah, that's the movie.
that's the movie. Animal Farm, and it was George Orwell. And who was George Orwell?
He was an author who was actually hired by the CIA in the 1950s to write such stories. He was a reporter that was sent to Moscow. He was a sort of a counter-spy communist, I believe.
Yeah, but what was his nationality?
Oh, my goodness. British or American?
British.
British?
Yes.
Okay. I probably read it in your book.
Yep, you're right. I apologize to everybody. Well, I didn't mean that you read it in my book. What I meant is that you're right about everything else. I don't remember if I wrote it in my book or not. But I apologize. It's Animal Farm. Animal Farm was the name of it. Okay, we're going to take your calls for the rest of the... See what I tell you, folks? I tell you over and over again. Because we all make mistakes. When I'm sitting here coming up with stuff that I didn't even intend to talk about, it's right off the top of my head, I can make mistakes. Everybody does. And that's why I tell you, don't believe anything from anybody. I don't care who it is. Listen to everybody. Read everything. Don't believe anything from anybody unless you can prove it in your own research. Because if you do, people make mistakes. Some people are intentionally deceiving you. Unless you prove it in your own research, you'll never know that. Some people are intentionally lying to you. Some people are just passing on stuff that was passed to them. They don't even know they're lying to you, even though they are. Some people are making an honest attempt to get the truth to you, but since they don't do any research, what they're doing is just passing on what they've learned in their life or what they hear from other people. And they don't know which portion of it is true or which portion of it is false. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we'll take calls for the next 6 or 7 minutes. Good evening. You're on the air.
We're on Animal Farm.
Yeah.
I don't think he did any work for the CIA. And by 1950, he was dead of tuberculosis. And Eric Blair was his real name. And he was British. And he was a socialist who just kept bumping into reality.
Well, I'm not so sure he bumped into reality. There are too many things that you might call synchronicity or coincidence. Like H.G. Wells. Did you know that he wrote a book called The New World Order in 1940?
Oh, I sure did. And he was an avowed socialist till the very end.
Yeah, and he described the world to come pretty accurately, I might add.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I don't believe in all this synchronicity or accidents or anything like that. I'm not so sure that he wasn't hired by the CIA, although I don't know whether he was or not.
No, I didn't say he wasn't hired out. He was hired, she said something about the early 50s.
Yeah.
He was dead by 48 or 49.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. He was dead at least by 1950. Let's make that a fact, okay?
So he wasn't working for them then.
Well, I don't know if he was or not. But what I was going to say is her assertion that he was working for the CIA is the first time I've ever heard that.
Me too.
And he didn't have to work for the CIA to be propounding that kind of thing, because it was rampant in England at that time, and well before.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just all I had to say. I'm just a point of correction.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You did good. And that's right. But remember, the CIA was founded in 1947, so he could have been working for the CIA. In what capacity, I don't know. I've never heard that before. When she said that, it's the first time I ever heard it in my life. Good evening. You're on the air.
You know, I thought I was just... I won't take up too much of the time. I thought I would just tell you where I got that reference. A magazine called Prevailing Winds. I'm sorry I don't have it right now. I read it about 2 years ago. And then when he had written 1984, it was originally called 1948, but the reality, the realism was apparently going to be too much and unbelievable. So it was changed to 1984.
Well, what you need to do is don't cite something unless you can cite the publication, the page, and the date of the publication. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything.
Prevailing Winds, and I will get the reference to you. Can you give me a fax number later on? I don't want to pick up other calls.
No, we don't have a fax. Call some other night and give us that information.
I will, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not doubting it. This is just the first time I ever heard it. Never heard it before in my life. So I have no idea whether it's true or false. And while I've done an awful lot of research into the lives of some of these people, I haven't done... I've done all the research that I could have done, so she may be right. I don't know. 520-333-4578 is the number. We can take calls till the end of the broadcast. But I'll, we'll find out. We will always find out about those things, because those are my sort of favorite things to get into. At that time in history, the early half of this century was socialism's shining glory. And so almost everything in England and the eastern industrialized part of the United States and France and Germany were under the influence, heavy influence of socialism. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Pleasure to speak with you. Can I ask you your policy on interviews with people on other radio shows?
Don't do it.
Don't do it?
Don't do it. The only one I will consent to be interviewed by is my good friend who does East Coast Live.
Okay. We have a lady here in our hometown who
is
very open.
Don't waste your time. I don't do it. Don't do it. I have my own radio show.
Okay, the reason I asked was because a lady we have here in town is
covering
this contrail thing.
I don't do it.
Okay, I just wondered if maybe you would.
I don't do it. Why is it so hard to understand? I don't do it.
Okay, I understand.
Thank you, God. Sure took a long time before you understood. I don't do it. I quit doing it a long time ago when I was lied to so many times. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I've been a ham operator since 1957.
Uh-huh.
And I understand now that the FCC won't process any application unless it contains a TIN number. And one of the fellows that went to change his address got a cease and desist letter back from him. And when he called, he was told just to write his social security number at the top of the form.
Well, according to the law, he doesn't have to.
I understand that. My license is coming up for renewal.
And the FCC has no right to ask anyone for a social security number or a taxpayer ID number.
Right.
No right whatsoever. It has nothing to do with the FCC.
Right. I agree with that.
It has nothing to do with Frontier State Bank either.
Right. I understand that. Yeah, I've been trying to call them... I keep getting thrown out of the automated system when I'm put on hold. I've tried it 6 times already.
Oh, they don't want to talk to you.
I'm sure they don't.
They want you to comply. But let me tell you something. If your license is revoked, then you're free. You don't have to obey their rules anymore. So let them take it gladly.
Mm-hmm.
Say kiss my butt when you give it to them, and salute and say sayonara. I am now free.
I agree with
and
that.
And then you go broadcast any way you want to.
Yeah, the only problem is that I have a lot of friends that I probably wouldn't want to talk to me anymore.
Well, then they're not your friends, are they?
Probably
if they're
not,
so
no.
stupid, they don't understand the law. And if they're so stupid that they would not even speak to you because you did the right thing, then they're not your friends, are they?
No, I agree.
Then why would you even miss them? Kiss them off, too. Salute. Say, sayonara, I'm free.
Right.
There you go.
I'll find new friends.
Yeah, stop thinking like a victim and like you're the one who's doing the wrong thing. You're not. They are. They're the stupid fools, and they're the ones who are going to end up eating the results of their foolishness.
Well, that's correct. Like I said, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth was they had no business with this information. And the only thing that I can figure is they don't want to be able to leave their computer terminal to freeze.
No, it's part. It's the coming New World Order. There will become a time when there is nothing that they don't know about you, can't control about you. There's nowhere you can go where they won't know that you're there and what you're doing and how much you're spending. And even if they want to, at some future date, they'll be able to push a button and watch you on a screen, no matter where you're at.
Yep.
George Orwell was not writing fiction.
Well, I agree.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, that's it. Got to let you go.
Thanks, Bill.
Good night, folks. Time is up. My goodness, time is up. God bless you, each and every single one. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. I miss you. God bless you. There it is, folks.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Not with people like Glenn Jacobs in it. Never will be.
I see skies of blue.
Or Bill Ferris.
Out to white. The bright blessed day. Talk, say goodnight.
Bail out of Frontier State Bank.
I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Make sure you check your signature card and correct it.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky.
If they tell you can't correct it unless you give up your account, give up your account rather than commit a felony. Remember, they can put you in prison for many years for lying under penalty of perjury. And that's what you're doing. You've been listening to The Hour of the Time, and according to President Clinton, the most dangerous radio host in America, that's me, William Cooper. Don't miss tomorrow night's episode. Think asshole's a misnomer. Just think about what an asshole produces. And that's exactly what you're getting from all these clowns. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. It's the only place, well, where you'll ever hear the truth. It's the last bastion of freedom on radio anywhere. So pay attention, folks. And you're going to hear the truth whether you like it or not, whether it makes you happy or not, whether it insults you or not. I will open your mind come hell or high water.